You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 30th of January 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've had a rather unfortunate killing of another black man. I think he was an unarmed young black man in the United States. And there were calls by the press for peaceful protests. I think even Joe Biden was calling for peaceful protests over it, which doesn't really give you much faith in these protests actually succeeding in doing anything. If you've got the president asking for people to go out and protest against, the police, abolish the police. That's what Black Lives Matter are calling for. So this young lad died at the hands of the police, and it's being portrayed once again as this innocent, unarmed black man was just murdered by these racist police officers who just hated the colour of the skin. Only this time, the police officers were all black. So how we can have people claiming that this is white supremacy, I don't know. But they are. They're claiming that this is white supremacy, even though the young black man was killed by black police officers. And of course, if you have a multicultural society, as we do, there is always going to be a suspicion that racism played a part there, isn't there? If you're black, even if there was nobody white that was involved in the so-called racist incident. The only way you can prevent that from happening is if you have ethnically homogenous communities. There can be no racism. There can be no discrimination if you have ethnically homogenous communities. Now, the young black man that died, one part of this was very much like all the other incidents, and that is that he was resisting arrest. I've seen the video, the cops pull him over, and they're trying to get him out of the car. First off, he refuses to get out of the car, he refuses to do what he's told to do. When he finally gets out of the car, he flees. Now, these police officers have been told not to shoot an unarmed man because they know if they shoot an unarmed black man, there's going to be hell to pay. So I think they just chased after him and beat him up rather than shooting him, thinking that that was better than shooting him. But unfortunately, the young lad died, and it looked like the press were saying this is terrible, there's going to be peaceful protests, and they did a live interview with the family members and the solicitors calling for protests. But I don't think there were large-scale riots like there were over George Floyd. I think the rioting was fairly insignificant, to be honest. And I'm not sure that there were that many protests, because I think people were looking at it and saying, well, hang on a minute, it was black police, even though it was a black victim. And it seems one of the reasons for this, rather than it being white supremacy, it was actually a lack of standards at the police force itself. Now, I have it on good authority that Memphis is a place that you don't even want to stop in to fill up with gas. It's a very dangerous place. I believe it's a part of Texas. And it is a very black place. I don't know quite what the demographics are, but I think it's probably pretty much almost all black people that live in Memphis now. So you would imagine that the police force would be black. It would be black police that are policing black citizens. Well, that is what it is, but they're having problems with getting people to join the police. So what they've done is they've lowered the standards. So we got a news report here from the New York Post. At least 2 out of 5 Memphis police officers charged with murder in the fatal beatdown of Tyre Nichols joined the force after the department relaxed its hiring requirements. Tedarius Bean and Demetrius Haley both joined the Memphis Police Department August 2020, more than 2 years after the department dramatically loosened the education qualifications to become an officer. Recruits no longer needed an associate's degree or 54 college credit hours to join the force and could get by with just 5 years of work experience, Action 5 reported. So they no longer even needed to do 54 hours at college. Just so long as they'd actually had some form of job for 5 years, that's all the qualifications they need to join the police. Loosening the required qualifications, however, means that the department is ultimately getting less desirable job candidates. And Mike Alcazar, an adjunct professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice and a retired New York Police Department detective, told the Post, "They're desperate. They want police officers. They're going through it. They check off some boxes saying, OK, they're good enough. Get them on." And of course, they've got a big drive for diversity, haven't they? They want to get black police officers. The department showed signs of struggle with recruiting new police officers, offering $15,000 just to sign up in 2021 and 2022. But as of January last year, the Memphis Police Department was down roughly 500 officers. And that was the Memphis Police Association that said that. So they were down on 500 officers. They're just desperate to get anyone from within the black community to join. Last year, they lowered the standards once again for new recruits, nixing the timed physical ability test and cutting college education requirements down from 54 hours to just 24 hours. Just 24 hours at college, and that's enough qualifications to join the police. You don't need any physical ability. The department also revealed that it was even offering waivers for people who have been convicted on felony charges. So it doesn't matter if you're a criminal, just so long as you've spent 24 hours at college, you can join the Memphis Police Force. Police departments have to take the screening process of candidates to be police officers seriously and not rush to hire officers that might not be qualified, Alcazar said. And we can look at that and we can say, oh, how ridiculous. That would never happen here, would it? Well, it is happening here, isn't it? We've got this big drive to get diversity into the police in Britain. I think they've already said that because such a high percentage of black people have criminal records, they will ignore the fact that you have a criminal record in order to get people into the police. How long will it be until we start seeing tragedies like this one that's just occurred in Memphis over here in Britain? Now, in London in particular, they are trying to get more non-whites to join the police. And we have a bit of a whistleblower here. London's Metropolitan Police recruited officers who are functionally illiterate in English in order to increase diversity, according to a member of His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary. So we now actually have police officers who are functionally illiterate because of this big drive for diversity. Now, what was the problem before? Because what they're trying to say is they're trying to get diversity, they're trying to get more black officers into the police. So are they saying that the police were being racist before and they were deliberately not employing highly qualified black people? Well, no, that wasn't the case. The case is that black people are less likely to have qualifications because on average they have a lower IQ than other ethnicities, for instance. The average African IQ and Caribbean IQ is 70. And you have some nations within Africa who have a lower IQ than 70. The average IQ for North Europeans is 100. So this is the reason why there aren't so many black people in the police, or why there wasn't so many black people in the police, is because there's a far smaller number of black people that are qualified to be police. There's a far smaller number of people within the black community that will make very good police officers. That's the reason why there wasn't very many black police. But they don't understand that, the authorities, and they refuse to admit that. So they say, well, it must be racism and we must lower standards. We'll just have to lower the standards then to get more black people into the police. But what's now happened is that you now have police officers who can't even read and write because of this diversity drive. The diversity and inclusion push from the woke leadership of the largest police force in Britain has seen the Met accept applicants who can barely write in English, HMI Matt Parr said. So they're identifying who it is that said this, His Majesty's Inspector, I guess that is, Matt Parr. The police watchdog said that while he felt that it was noble and right to increase the number of ethnic minorities hired by Scotland Yard, Parr urged that this must not be at the cost of lowering standards. But that's the catch-22, isn't it? How are you going to get a group with a lower average IQ into the police if you don't lower the standards? That's the only way you can do it. And what people would rather have is higher standards. They want people with good qualifications. They want good police. That is more important than having a police officer who represents the minority community. Yes, have a police officer that represents the minority community, but make sure that they can read and write. Make sure that they're not a criminal. Make sure that they're highly qualified and that they are a good representation of the community that they come from. That's what people want. Otherwise, we're going to end up with people dying at the hands of the police like we just had in Memphis. Mr. Parr had some more things to say. He said, we completely support the idea that London, which will likely be a minority white city in the next decade or so, should not be policed by an overwhelmingly white police force. And he was speaking to The Telegraph when he said this. So they're admitting that London is going to be a minority white city. We already have minority white cities in Britain. I think Birmingham is. I think Luton is. And when we have these minority white cities, for some strange reason, they all seem to have very, very high crime rates. And because of the high crime rates, the minorities there are much more likely to have a criminal record than, say, Europeans would be that are living elsewhere in Britain, or indigenous British people. The non-whites are more likely to have a criminal record. So if you're going to try and get more of them into the police, then you have to overlook these criminal records, which means that you have criminals in the police force. So not just people that can't read and write, but people that are also criminal. Mr. Parr continued talking about the overwhelmingly white police force, saying that is clearly wrong. It is not just wrong from a legitimacy point of view and from an appearances point of view, it is also operationally wrong, because it means the Met does not get insight into some of the communities that it polices, and that has caused problems in the past. Well, this is why what they need to do is they need to get the best examples of those communities. There will be some that don't have criminal records. There will be some that can read and write, and they're the ones that they should be getting in the police, not lowering the standards so that they can bump up the numbers. Surely it is better to have a smaller number of high quality representatives of these communities than to have a high number of low quality representatives of these communities. I mean, then you're really taking it to the extremes, aren't you, of representing the community or policing? Because if you're policing a community who most of which have criminal records, so most of the community are criminals, and then you're going to make most of the police force criminals as well? I mean, that's the same sort of logic that says, well, if you're policing a community that has a lot of mentally disabled people, well, we should also have mentally disabled police then. That would give us some insight into the mentally disabled community. Surely what you want is the best people for the job. And if you want insight into these communities, then clearly you need an advisor from those communities. And again, that advisor needs to be a good representative of the community, a highly qualified representative, not someone with a criminal record. The HMI said that there is a risk of recruiting the wrong people. And Mr. Parr says that he has heard of trainee officers who are, on paper at least, functionally illiterate in English. And Parr noted that this has already had a trickle-down impact on the force's ability to function, saying that just writing up crime reports has become quite difficult in some areas. So he's not just saying amongst some police are having difficulty with this. Literally, some entire areas are having difficulty with writing up a crime report because the standards have been lowered so much. He said, so in that drive, there is at least anecdotal evidence that they have lowered the standards. And of course, we were talking about this last week in Real Britannia, about the lowering of the standards in the police. And this week, we have a whistleblower that is pointing this out and saying that it is far worse than we were talking about last week. I mean, we certainly weren't saying that we knew that the police, some of the police didn't know how to read and write, but that is what is being said here. And not just some of the police, but entire areas of the police force. The push for more diversity at the Met came under former Met Commissioner Krista Dick, the first openly gay leader of the force, and leftist Mayor Sadiq Khan, who pledged to recruit 40% of all new police officers from Black, Asian and minority communities by 2023. Now, I don't know how much more likely Black people are to have a criminal record. I do know that they are five times more likely to be charged with a violent crime. So if you look at that, you say, well, they're five times more likely just to have any criminal record. I mean, it may just be a small criminal record for smoking cannabis or something similar like that, but it's still a criminal record. And if there's five times as many of them that have that criminal record, then you're going to expect there to be five times less of them than their percentage of the population that are actually qualified to be the police. What they should be doing is saying, well, yes, we would like to have 40% non-white, but because they're more likely to have a criminal record, we're only realistically going to get 10% non-white. But of course, then the non-whites are being policed by a multicultural police force, and the suspicion is going to be racism. And that takes us back around to what I was pointing out at the beginning, that you're always going to have this problem with multiculturalism. Now, Krista Dick, she was put in as the Met Commissioner, and it was a political appointee. She was put there because she was politically correct. She was rewarded for doing good things for the government when that electrician from Brazil was shot in the head. I think she was something to do with the task force that was involved in that. When they got somebody who was quite innocent, they thought he was a terrorist, and they shot him in the head. And I think she was rewarded for the role that she played. I can't recall exactly what the role was, but it was said at the time, you know, that she had done exactly what the government wanted her to do. So she was put in place as the Met Commissioner. She was extremely politically correct, as it says here, the first openly gay leader of the force. And under her, they have brought in all these police officers who are unable to read and write. And I mean, I guess you could say, well, she's only doing what Sadiq Khan has ordered her to do, to recruit 40% of all new police officers from Black and non-white communities. But what she should have said is, well, that's not really realistic, Mr. Mayor, because they're more likely to have criminal records. What are you saying? Are you saying that you want to have criminals joining the police force? But of course, they can't say that because that's not politically correct, is it? They've got to pretend that the only reason why these people are more likely to have criminal records is because there are racist police. But it's not racist police. And as we started out saying, you can see where this ends up with what's happened in Memphis, with the Black police force ending up killing somebody, whether it was right or wrong, killing him. They've been accused of murder, haven't they? When really, he shouldn't have run away from the police in the first place. If he hadn't have run away from the police, he would still be alive. I mean, that's what they should really be teaching Black teenagers at schools, is when the police knock on the door of the vehicle, put your hands up and obey what the police say. If the police ask you to get out, don't try to run away, because they're then going to use force to stop you from running away. It's so simple, yet apparently these Black Americans just don't understand it. And it seems that whenever there is an unarmed Black man that gets arrested by the police, he will pretty much always try to run away. That's the way that it seems anyway, because all of these instances where the unarmed Black man was killed by the police, it's always that he was resisting arrest, trying to run away. I mean, even with George Floyd, he was trying to climb out of the back of the police car, wasn't he? And he wanted to lie on the ground instead of just getting in the police car. Anyway, this push to get more diversity in the police and the apparent lowering of literacy standards to accept more minorities has led to the present number of non-white police officers serving in London still being lower than 17%. So they've come up against the same problem that they did in Memphis. And what do they do in Memphis? They said, well, we'll just say that you have to have gone to college for 24 hours and you have to have actually held down a job before. And that's all the qualifications you need to join the police. And in Memphis, they're still 500 officers down. So are they going to do the same thing here in London? Are they going to say you no longer have to have any qualifications? You just have to have actually been to work for somebody before joining the police? In addition to implementing woke standards in the hiring process, UK police forces have also been spending tens of millions of pounds on so-called diversity, inclusion and equality officers and equality training programs. And what is it these diversity, inclusion and equality officers do? Well, they just try to increase the diversity. They try to come up with ideas of how you can get more non-white people to join the police. They're just there to try to encourage more replacement of white people, basically. And yet you have white people going along with this. Cressida Dick is white. She went along with this. She was quite happy to see this. She was quite happy to see as many white officers replaced with non-white as possible. Yet it's led to people not being able to read and write joining the police. In 2020, it was revealed that the Met police force began hiring racism spotters who would study prospective officers to determine if they held any racial or other prejudices. I wonder how they did that then, by telepathy? By just looking at them and they can spot if they're racist or not? Cressida Dick's successor as Met Commissioner, Sir Mark Rowley, has said that he would dial down the requirement to meet diversity targets and instead try to hire the best officers. And I must say, he does seem a lot better than Cressida Dick. He does seem to be more concerned with, as he says here, getting quality officers rather than meeting diversity targets. Former police officer and current head of crime and justice at the policy exchange think tank, David Spencer, said, "There is a tension between volume, quality and diversity, and something has to give. Someone has to ask, what is the most important of those three things? And you have to be really careful because once you have recruited someone, they are possibly going to be there for the next 30 years. And I think it's quite obvious what the most important one is. It's quality, isn't it? Obviously, you have to have volume because you have to have some manpower there. But you need to have quality people in the police, quality people that are taking charge. And you certainly need to have at least one person who knows how to read and write in that area." Well, the politically correct push by Met Commissioner Cressida Dick, or former Met Commissioner Cressida Dick, and London Mayor Sadiq Khan, was to recruit 40% of all new police officers from Black, Asian and minority communities by the year 2020. So their pledge was to get this done by last year, and they only have 17%. Dame Cressida Dick promised to fire any racist officers in London, admitting that she believes the police force she oversaw is not free of discrimination, racism or bias. And she said that the force will strain every sinew to reach the 40% quota. And obviously, needing to read or write, they threw that one out of the window. They got rid of the need to not have a criminal record. What are they going to do next in order to get this? Well, thankfully, as I say, she's no longer there and we have this Mark Rowley that is in charge, who we have to wait and see what he does. Alongside the racial quota, Mayor Sadiq Khan called for a review of the use of tasers, stop and search, police traffic stops as well, which he claims disproportionately impact ethnic minorities in London. So they're more likely to be shot with a taser, more likely to be stop and searched. Why might that be? And obviously, Sadiq Khan is implying that it's just because the police officers are racist. But if you look at the statistics, as I say, you will see that black people are five times more likely to be involved in violent crime. If you look at the FBI statistics in America, they make up something like 13% of the population, but 56% of all the murders. So they're far more likely to be involved in violent crime. Obviously, it's not all of them. It's just a small percentage of them that are. It's a small percentage of them that cause all the problems for everyone else. But what are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, because of racism, we're not going to bother to search you and we're just going to let the violent criminals carry their knives and their weapons around and shoot people and kill them? Or are you going to have a certain percentage of innocent people that end up being stop and searched because they fit the witness description of the person that had the weapon? I think most black parents would say that they would rather that their children were stopped and searched when they're innocent, rather than have more of these young black lads getting murdered by other black lads. But Sadiq Khan doesn't see it like that. He wants there to be less stop and search, less traffic stops. And of course, if a police officer is using a taser, that is because he is worried that the person he is trying to arrest will attack him. In most cases, in most instances, it's because they've already tried to attack them or they've tried to resist arrest. It's the same thing as in America, when the black person tries to resist arrest when the police try to arrest them. And they can't say, oh, well, it's because the police officer was white, because as we just saw in Memphis, when all the police officers are black, they still try to resist arrest, unfortunately. And that poor lad in America ended up being dead. Well, despite making up only 13% of London's total population, black Londoners actually account for 45% of London's knife murder victims, 61% of knife murder perpetrators, and 53% of knife crime perpetrators. And this comes from the government's own website. This comes from london.gov.uk. They put out a press release in February last year about a commission on knife crime in the black community. So as I pointed out there, in America, you got 13% of the population, 56% of the violent crimes. Here you've got 13% of London's total population, 61% of the knife murder perpetrators, and 53% of the knife crime perpetrators. So it's the same statistics, isn't it? It's the same statistics. It's the same small minority within a minority that are carrying out these crimes. The London Assembly is concerned about these figures and called on the mayor and the government to set up a joint commission to specifically look at knife crime affecting the black community. And that is a really good idea. But then instead of saying, well, we need more stop and search, you get Sadiq Khan saying, well, we don't need more stop and search. What we need to do is lower the standards in the police and start employing police that don't know how to read and write and that have criminal records. Sam Moima, AM, who proposed the amended motion to the London Assembly, said tackling violent crime, which has had a disproportionate and tragic impact on black Londoners, must remain at the top of City Hall's agenda. I'm pleased that this amended motion has been passed by the London Assembly today, calling for City Hall and the government to set up a joint commission to look at the additional resources needed to urgently address this issue. So instead of looking at what the reasons for this might be, they're just looking for the resources needed to tackle the issue. He said, we cannot ignore the underlying factors behind violent crime, such as deprivation, lack of positive opportunities, and inequality. This is why a continued multi-agency and holistic approach is needed, engaging all levels of government. And what they'll say there is the reason for this is because there aren't enough youth clubs for the black youth, because they're less likely to earn high wages. And of course, all of those things, though, if you just look at the average IQ, you can see that if there's a lower average IQ like that, then that predicts that people are less likely to do well at work. It predicts that people are more likely to be criminal. And I would suggest that it's just down to there being a biological difference. That's why the black community, wherever they are in the world, is responsible for five times as much violent crime as their percentage of the population. I mean, it's not a popular thing to say, but if only we would face up to that, we could actually bring in proper programs to deal with that. And we could say, well, okay, if you've got this one community that are far more likely to carry out these crimes, and you've got another community, say the Chinese, that are not likely to ever carry out these crimes, then what we should really have is the Chinese living amongst themselves and the black people living amongst themselves. And at least then it's being dealt with within their own community. And then as well, then you wouldn't have what's happened in Memphis, where you do sadly have a black person that's killed by the black police and they're blaming white supremacy for it, because you still have white people that are involved and it's still the white idea of the police and what have you. But if you just had a black community that had developed their own way of dealing with these things, and then they couldn't blame white supremacy for it. And then you never know, they might even come out with a better way of dealing with it. The way that black people have always dealt with the troublemakers in their community. Well, despite constant claims from the left-wing establishment and activists of racism within the police, officers have taken a far more lenient approach to Black Lives Matter protests when they were going on in the British capital, for instance, compared to anti-lockdown marches. So we're hearing from Sadiq Khan that black people are far more likely to get stopped. And yet we saw at these Black Lives Matter rallies that the police were definitely taking a soft touch. And when we saw the Patriot rally to protect the statues, we saw lots and lots of right-wing people being beaten up by the police. That's what we saw, wasn't it? We saw white people being beaten up, and we saw black people supporting Black Lives Matter being treated with kid gloves. In June of 2020, Cresta Dick said that the reason for taking a hands-off approach to Black Lives Matter rallies was to prevent serious disorder from breaking out. So basically, there was a threat there. They considered that it was a threat that if they tried to stop these rallies, or they tried to prevent violence or rioting, it would just make the rioting worse, I guess. On November the 5th, some 190 anti-lockdown protesters were arrested in London under coronavirus regulations for attempting to stage a rally. But there were no comparable actions taken against any Black Lives Matter demonstration to date of this article. And that article was written in 2020, and things haven't really changed since then. They're still treating black protests with kid gloves. But the really serious concern is the lack of standards that they now have in the police, where they're trying to encourage more black people to join the police force. And the police force is still multicultural. So we'll still have the same problems. We'll still have black people feeling that they're being discriminated against if anything happens to them. The real solution to this, I mean, it's so difficult, isn't it? I mean, we're in a situation that it's going to be very difficult to wind back from. We now have multiculturalism, unfortunately, and thanks to traitor politicians opening up the borders and changing the immigration policies, but we now have this. So what we really have to look at, I think, is mitigating the dangers and mitigating the harms that have come about through multiculturalism. And the way to do that is just to have ethnically homogenous communities, you know, to segregate these communities, these big cities that are multicultural. Keep them multicultural, but keep them in the separate areas. You've got Chinatown in one area, black people in another area, Muslims in another area. And outside of the cities, just make sure that they're not multicultural. Make sure that the white people can still live outside the cities without having to run these risks of having a higher crime rate, because diversity has been introduced into the area by the government. Because we know it's not these ethnic groups' fault. It's just a fact of life that they have more violent crime amongst them. It's not their fault. The fault is of the government for putting that into areas that had low crime rates before and now have high crime rates. I mean, all you have to do is look at the amount of knife crime that there was in London 100 years ago and compare it to today. I think there's more knife crime in a day in London now than there was in a year 100 years ago. That's where multiculturalism has got us to. And black people aren't happy with it. They just see racism around everywhere, and white people aren't happy with it, with the increased crime rate. Nobody is happy with diversity, and it is so much more difficult to police when you have this diversity as well, and you end up with tragedies like happened in Memphis, and you end up with police not being able to read and write, as was highlighted here. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.